We're going to begin with the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Ohio Congressman Mike Turner. Welcome back to Face the Nation.
Morning, Margaret.
Chair Turner, last week, as you know, there were federal immigration arrests of these eight individuals with suspected ties to ISIS. They were rounded up in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and New York. They traveled from Central Asia, Tajikistan, across the southern border into the U.S. Do you have any indication that there is an active terror plot?
Well, Margaret, I can neither confirm nor deny all the details that you've just reported. But what's important about these reports and what we're seeing, especially in conjunction with Director Wray's public statements, that we are at the highest level of a possible terrorist threat, that the administration's policies have absolutely, you know, directly related to threats to Americans. These are no longer speculative, no longer hypothetical.
All right, that's the voice of Congressman Mike Turner. He's the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He was being interviewed by Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation just this past, well, in the just recently. So here's the deal. What we're going to talk about today not only are the dangers that we face, and that's why that committee is so important. They're the ones on the front lines in the Congress, certainly in the House, of trying to ferret out the intelligence they're getting and to try to, you know, alert others as to what we should be doing. But something's kind of broken down, don't you think? And so a few days ago, within the last week, Congressman Scott Perry and Congressman Ronny Jackson have been appointed to serve on this committee by the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. My goodness, you would have thought that the sky had fallen or that, you know, there had been a great earthquake. There is so much objection to these two men being on that committee. And we're going to talk about not only the threats, but why the fear of them serving on the committee on today's show. Well, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. I think you know that. But if you'd like to call us, certainly after this discussion today, you might want to do that. Call 662-821-2040. What you do is follow the prompts, you leave a message, and we will respond to you on the air usually, not personally, just because of we don't have the staff to do that. But it's 662-821-2040. I love hearing your voices, and I really do listen to each and every one of those. And if you'd rather write an email, you can still do that at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. AFR, AmericanFamilyRadio.net is our home base. But you can go to Spotify or Apple or Amazon, whatever your favorite platform is, you should be able to find Sandy Rios 24/7. And of course, we're on social media as well. I think we've covered all the bases, I hope. Well, you know that Preborn makes it possible for us to do this. And even if they didn't, I'd probably talk about what they're doing because with the availability now of the abortion pill, which we are going to be discussing this week, not in this show, but this week, now available in local pharmacies or through the mail, a woman's bathroom has become the scene of the crime where she tragically expels her child. It's just so upsetting to me. It really is personally very upsetting to me that this is happening, and something like 63% of all abortions now happen through this pill. Well, the only way to circumvent that, since we're having really bad luck with legislation, we had really bad luck with the Supreme Court just less than a week ago. All nine justices decided not to hear the case that would make this illegal. So here we are with women, young girls. We can't even track how old they are. We don't even have assurance of how long they are, far along they are in the pregnancy, because there's no a doctor to oversee or to prescribe. They could just get it online. It's really shocking. I never thought we'd come to this. But that's where Preborn comes in, because what they do is offer a chance for these women to see their babies in their womb. It's a beautiful thing. Most of you mothers have done this by now. It's recent technology. It's certainly not been around for generations, but it's amazing. You can sometimes see the features, the expression. You can see the thumb sucking. It's just hiccups. You can see the gender. It's for the sometimes, I think often is the word. And so that's why Preborn is so important, and that's why they're so effective. If you would like to support them, and of course by supporting them, you support us. You go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, today we're going to go up on Capitol Hill and talk to Congressman Scott Perry, who is, you know, according to the powers that be on CNN and other outlets and even in Congress, it's terrible that he's just been appointed to this House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Well, we'll talk to him and you see what you think on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Speaker Johnson, though, recently decided, as you know, to add two congressmen, Scott Perry and Dr. Ronny Jackson, to your committee, reportedly at the behest of Donald Trump. One of your members, Congresswoman Chrissy Houlihan, referred to Perry as a threat to intelligence oversight. Quote, he will be on the very committee that oversees the FBI while he is directly under investigation by this very agency. Do you think that is a disqualifying conflict of interest?
Well, being concerned, obviously, about that issue and being the chairman, my contact with the IC to see whether or not there was an issue that, you know, in due diligence from our committee that we needed to resolve or address, they indicated that there was not an ongoing or continuing issue or even a current issue that we needed to address.
The FBI
the issue,
told you that.
I think, here that's most important, the IC told us that. I think what's very important here is that the speaker makes this appointment, and then what he's done since. The speaker has absolutely committed himself to these two individuals following the rules, not only the laws. Both of them have military experience. Both of them have had access to classified information before, and there's been no reports of any incidences of their mishandling of classified information. The speaker has met with our committee, Republican members. He has spoken directly to Jim Himes. We've had a meeting with Mr. Perry, myself, and the speaker, where all of these assurances have been made. But the speaker has said this, that he is going to continue to monitor the situation. If there's any indication of anything improper happening, that he will intervene. And I believe the speaker will assert leadership here.
And withdraw that nomination potentially.
Okay, that was Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation. She was talking to Mike Rogers, who's the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And as always, the spokesperson, Maria Bartiromo, has him on regular Sundays. I'm going to talk a little bit about him later, but, Congressman Scott Perry and Congressman Ronny Jackson might be a threat, you know, to the intelligence community. It's just kind of dangerous to appoint them to this committee. Congressman Perry is so dangerous. He was a combat veteran for a number of years. He retired at the rank of Brigadier General on the 1st of March of 2019. After 40 years in uniform, he holds a master's in strategic studies from the U.S. Army War College. But he's so, so dangerous. He can't. You know, we have to really think about whether we should have him on this committee. And actually, Speaker Johnson might need to remove them if anything happens. Mike Rogers is watching. Okay, with that lovely introduction, let me welcome Congressman Scott Perry. Good morning, Congressman Perry.
Good morning, Sandy. Yes, it's always these are always interesting times in Washington, and instead of focusing on our nation's enemies and our nation's challenges, of which there are many, oftentimes the Washington press corps focuses on the personality dramas, which, quite honestly, I think that most people, you know, they could care less about. They're trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills and you know, what decisions that their own government's going to allow them to make. And that's where I think most people are, and they could care less about most of this palace intrigue.
But I think, yeah, I understand that. But I can probably say some things that you shouldn't. And I want to say that this committee is very important, and you should have been on it a long time ago. And I want to say, as an outsider, this is the one committee that many of my friends who are concerned about what's happening in the country are very concerned about, and they're very concerned about Mike Rogers' leadership. So that's my perspective. And I want to point out that the last time we spoke, well, maybe not the last time, but the FBI seized your phone at a restaurant with your family while you were on vacation. For you were not under any suspicion. So the FBI doesn't want you on this committee, I don't think. There's a lot of uproar and opposition. You heard Margaret Perry. Why do you think that is, Congressman?
Well, I think some of it's political. One of my own delegation, when I say delegation, of course, I'm from Pennsylvania, so we're talking about the Pennsylvania delegation, the members of Congress from Pennsylvania. One of the members, a Democrat who serves on the committee, is probably very likely using the opportunity to help and assist my opponent in my district in the race by creating a narrative that, you know, somehow there's a problem with me serving on the committee. And I think that, you know, politics definitely plays a role here. But I would also say that this has traditionally been viewed as, I don't know if it's appropriate to view it this way, but it's been viewed as an organization that, you know, it's called the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. So you have to be selected very specifically by the people at the top, specifically the speaker. And in the past, I think that, you had to do certain things maybe to be on the committee. And one of those things is really there couldn't be a lot of dissension, right? You couldn't voice alternative viewpoints or, you know, disagreement was almost seen as disloyalty. But I don't see disagreement as disloyalty. I think that a healthy conversation needs to be had. And as you probably know, Sandy, I'm one of the individuals that voted in favor of requiring the intelligence community to have a warrant to spy on American yes. citizens. And I feel very strongly about that. And I haven't been dissuaded from that position at all. And maybe there are members on the committee that, you know, don't see that as the appropriate position and don't want to have to make that argument with somebody on the committee. And that's okay. They're willing to have to, or they're welcome to have that position. But I think it's healthy to have disagreement and to have varying viewpoints or, different faceted viewpoints on every single issue, especially when it comes to our constitutionally protected freedoms. And so I think that might be a point of contention for some. But what I do think is also interesting, which isn't getting a lot of coverage, is, you know, on the interview, Chairman Mike Turner said that they checked about this alleged investigation by the FBI. They did seize my phone, but I have told people since the beginning, because the FBI told me, I was never the target of an investigation, not the target of an investigation. I've been accused of anything. And Chairman Turner confirmed that's been recently confirmed by the intelligence community. Yet my opponents never want to talk about that. They want to tell you all kinds of other things. You know, they put up posters in my town that I'm wanted by the law and that, you know, I should be in jail. And, you know, those are the things my kids get to see when they pull up to a stoplight. But here again, it seems to me that the intelligence community just confirmed that those things are completely false and have been false.
Yes, but I would have to say, Mike did not set the record straight in that interview, and I wanted to set the record straight on that. Margaret Brennan certainly made it sound like you are, you know, so suspect that Speaker Johnson, you know, will have to remove you. And he actually agreed, if you cause any trouble, you're probably going to be removed. It's really disgusting. So I'm just saying, because I have a lot of respect for you, I know the great work that you do. You were the former chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and you are one that speaks your mind and tells the truth. And I want to say, in your statement, after your appointment by Speaker Mike Johnson, and God bless Mike Johnson for doing this, you say, I look forward to providing not only a fresh perspective, but conducting actual oversight, not blind obedience to some facets of our intelligence community that all too often abuse their powers, resources, and authority to spy on the American people. And I would have to say, Congressman, you were the victim of that. I mean,
you know it firsthand. Yeah, I certainly feel that way. I think it was their way of trying to publicly censor me and get me to shut my mouth. And, of course, I did neither. I refused to be censored, and I'm not going to stop talking about the things in a frank, you know, open fashion that I think everybody can understand. But I think it is true that the intelligence community did abused their authority. They admitted to it like 278,000 times. That's what they admitted to. That's not what we found out. That's what they admitted to. And it is the job of each committee, whether it's the Intelligence Committee, the Oversight Committee, or the Transportation Committee, for that matter, to conduct oversight over the other branches of government. And so it is a duty, whether you like it or not. And we, you know, our job is to call the balls and strikes, not to cozy up with people. We want them to be able to do their job to keep America safe, but we want them to operate within the confines of the Constitution. And I don't think that anybody should be embarrassed or disturbed that I would say something like that, or that anyone would say something like that.
I don't think so. Certainly the American people don't feel that way. Well, I'm going to play another clip here, and it's personal to you, but I want to talk about the larger issue. And we can comment on that, but I want to talk about the larger issue of our actual security. What you can say, because now you are... Have you said it on a committee meeting yet?
I have, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. So I know there are some things that you cannot say, but let's let Margaret Brennan so eloquently tell us what kind of trouble we're in here. This is clip one.
We're going to begin with the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Ohio Congressman Mike Turner. Welcome back to Face the Nation.
Morning, Margaret.
Chair Turner, last week, as you know, there were federal immigration arrests of these eight individuals with suspected ties to ISIS. They were rounded up in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and New York. They traveled from Central Asia, Tajikistan, across the southern border into the U.S. Do you have any indication that there is an active terror plot?
Well, Margaret, I can neither confirm nor deny all the details that you've just reported. But what's important about these reports and what we're seeing, especially in conjunction with Director Wray's public statements, that we are at the highest level of a possible terrorist threat, that the administration's policies have absolutely, you know, directly related to threats to Americans. These are no longer speculative, no longer hypothetical. We have actual administration officials stepping forward, and certainly our committee and our committee members have concurred on the intelligence that we're seeing, that as a result of the administration's policies allowing people to cross the border unvetted, we have terrorists that are actively working with inside the United States that are a threat to Americans.
All right. So that was, again, that was introduction for Margaret Brennan on the Face the Nation to Mike Rogers. But Congressman Perry, I want to ask you about, you can speak up as, you know, a congressman prior to being part of that committee, you know a lot of things already. How would you quantify the threats inside our country right now?
Well, I would quantify them, regardless of the committee, as grave, and they have been grave for some time. We know from our trips to the border and from generally the admission of Homeland Security officials that the vetting process is minimal at best. Understand, the vetting process generally starts with the United States asking the country of origin what they know about said person that is now in our country. And some of those countries don't want to, you know, they're not necessarily friendly. Many of the countries simply literally don't have the information, and there's no reason for us to often believe anything that the person that has come illegally to our country is telling us the truth about their identity, their, you know, their origin, their date of birth, or anything. So we're working on questionable information and asking questionable governments to verify that to determine our safety. And when we really can't get any derogatory information, it'd be one thing if we said, look, we don't really have enough information, so we're not going to let you stay here. But essentially, if we don't get derogatory information, this administration has determined there's no reason to hold these people, then they set them loose into the interior of the country. And you can imagine what kind of havoc they can wreak once they, you know, get together under the umbrella of a free nation where you can kind of, you know, move freely as we should be able to, and buy things and so on and so forth. I mean, they might be planning all manner of things right now. We saw what happened in Russia in that theater not too long ago, and Russia is a pretty tightly controlled society compared to America. And if it can happen there, my goodness, you can imagine what might happen especially at a well-attended event in America where these people that hate America have come and want to make a statement. And I think we've been in peril since day one of this administration when they telegraphed as they were going to take office, as President Biden was going to take office, that they were going to, well, he told people in a debate that he wanted them to surge to the border, and they indeed did surge to the border, and they have been in record numbers ever since.
I was just in San Diego last week, and of course, before I went, I knew this, but still, 30,000 reportedly Chinese nationals, single men. I saw a video, of them taking their boats, being in boats that are kind of high speed, coming up on the shore very quickly so that the boat gets onto the land, jumping out of the boats, climbing up this steep, like a ravine, whatever it is, but a neighborhood right there with mother pushing her baby and houses and then SUVs picking them up and taking them away quickly. I didn't see all 30,000. I just saw a few of those. What do you know about that, Congressman Perry?
Well, we know it's occurring. We know that the cartels control the border, not because Congressman Perry says so, but because Border Patrol, the officials at Border Patrol have told that, told the American people that in open hearings. Of course, they tell members of Congress when we visit the border. But I don't know that that's any better or any worse than this President Biden literally flying people into our country that are here illegally. It's one thing when they cross of their own accord, of their own volition, but it's wholly another when the United States government, under the auspices of the use of American tax dollars, we fly a plane or charter a plane from these places to bring people illegally into the country, or we give them, the taxpayers fund plane tickets to send them to your community. And they're here illegally, and we just send them to your community, and they wait, 5, 10, 15 years later for a court date, having disappeared into the fabric of American society, never to be seen by Border Patrol or Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I mean, it is so disturbing, the blatant lawlessness that President Biden has promoted, but it's real, and it's right in your face.
It certainly is. And you combine that with the spy balloon, speaking of just China, and that's not the only place Chinese nationals are coming through. It's not just San Diego, but they've got enough people here now to really, really do some damage. And that's not to mention the Islamists that Margaret kind of spelled out, and that's just a tip of the iceberg. There was a terrorist leader that crossed over the southern border a couple of months ago. I'm sure you saw this. And he's bragging. He's like in a suit. And he's bragging about who he is, and he says to the right. border agents, soon you're going to know who I am.
Right. That's the bravado that not only these people coming across the border illegally have, but the people that raise their right hand and swear to protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States, they blatantly just break the laws right in front of their bosses and think nothing of it. And, of course, very little is done to hem them in. Instead of cutting their budgets, we've increased their budgets. Instead of, we impeached Mayorkas under, some duress. But the Senate won't even take that up. It's completely political. And just because he's a Democrat and they're Democrats and the Democrats want these people to come here illegally, they won't say a thing about it. And so this is what unfortunately the American people, including, the woman pushing the baby in the stroller in her neighborhood, are left with. They have to fend for themselves because this federal government refuses, not only refuses to do its duty, but then fights the states that say, well, if you won't do it, we will. Then the federal government fights them for even trying it themselves. It is astounding, but unfortunately, these are the consequences of elections.
Absolutely. And then, of course, without going into great detail here, we're talking about all of this crime that we're not even hearing about. We're hearing about some of it. I just heard this morning in New York City, in the park, an illegal immigrant raped a young girl. And so they caught him. But, so there you go. This is the kind of thing, that's happening in vast amounts, and we can't even quantify it. So inside the country. Now, how about outside? We've been hearing about these Russian ships, you know, circling Cuba. What can you say to us about that?
Well, they are indeed in Cuba. They're at port in Cuba, and you know it's essentially 100 miles off the coast of the United States, and never have they been so brazen before. And you know, I don't know, and I can't say exactly what's on the submarines that are there, but I know what's on many of our submarines that are patrolling the seas of the world. And just think about, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis and what might be located on these vessels that are 100 miles off the coast. This is all happening because our President Joe Biden, is projecting weakness around the globe, and other nations, many of which are governed by tyrants, Vladimir Putin being one of those tyrants, are going to take advantage of that with this show of force. And it is unnerving. It is scary. But again, these are the consequences of electing someone who is wholly owned subsidiary of the left. And that's, you know, President Biden. And heretofore, where dictators and despots around the world lived and walked in fear of the United States, now they walk right up to our doorstep and laugh in our faces. And that's what's happening.
Okay, so then we have Russia. And then, of course, Russia is working with China now because, you know, we have gotten so weak and a non-player on the international scene. It's just shocking that we should drop so fast, so soon, with the leadership of Joe Biden. But the China is now working with Russia. So the threats from China, I don't even know how to quantify that, but maybe you could just in a paragraph. What are the actual threats from them, do you think?
Well, the threat is that they use a principle called unrestricted warfare. So they're not necessarily interested, although they're not averse to military conflict with the United States. But they feel that they can complete their mission, which is essentially making the United States subservient to China by a whole list of other methods, including every single thing, Sandy, that you can think of. Unrestricted warfare means exactly that. So they steal our product, they import their people to our country to undermine us, they write letters, they change code, they sell us compromised equipment that will be used against us when the time is right. They continually plant on every single arena that you can think of, whether it's the education arena and indoctrinating our children with a pro-China viewpoint to literally armed military conflict. They are interested in executing their plan to see the downfall of the United States and it being subservient to China as the leader of the world. And I don't say free world because it will not be a free world. And unfortunately, most Americans really didn't have the viewpoint of China as an adversary until sometime during the pandemic. And why should they, Sandy? The United States government has been telling the American people that China was an ally and a strategic competitor as opposed to the enemy or an adversary. But China has never seen us as a strategic competitor. They've seen us as an adversary and in many cases an enemy. And so they have been acting in accordance with their viewpoints, not ours. And of course, unfortunately, we are slow to the fight here, where we literally have been American tax dollars and American policy finances the Chinese aggression in so many facets against the United States itself. We're literally braiding the rope that we're handing to China to put around our necks. It is it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of work to be done. But we should be vigilant, and we should be we should never cease our effort to decouple ourselves from China and to make sure that we remain the strongest power on the planet. But unfortunately, I just don't see that happening.
No, we haven't even talked about Iran, and we don't have to go into that. But they're a threat too, very close to nuclear capacity, we think. And thanks to Joe Biden. But isn't it ironic? You know, Russia and China are these hardcore communist countries. Well, Russia doesn't claim to be that now, but they still are, I think. They But so their core starting in the modern era, it certainly was communism, which hates capitalism. That's the whole Marx thing. And isn't it ironic, Congressman, that it's our capitalism manifested now, not always, but in the wrong way, in greed, I think, that's put us in this situation. You know,
Yeah, it's absolutely right, Sandy. You know, when you talk about unrestricted warfare, it goes to our financial markets, where we impose restrictions by law on American companies, but then absolve Chinese companies of any of those restrictions. And then people in America, because there's more money to be made because the Chinese have less restrictions, then invest American money in these Chinese firms because of the return that they want to get. Meanwhile, unwittingly, or in some cases wittingly, selling out their own country. And of course, the legislature and the administrations are reluctant to do anything to, at least, if nothing else, they could make the playing field level. Even if they won't punish the Chinese, just make the playing field level. If you're going to restrict regulatorily American companies, well, you should do the same thing with Chinese companies. But certainly, my goodness, don't give them the upper hand. But that's what we've done.
All right, two more things, because I know your time is limited. You recently were part of a hearing. I don't know if it was it must have been your committee. I'm not sure which committee. But it was on the Osprey, that famous helicopter that has been developed by American technology. There have been, I wrote down, in the last 2.5 years, 20 servicemen have been killed, a total of casualties of 64, because it keeps malfunctioning. That's just one part of what's happening that's bad in the military. Just speak to that, if you could, Congressman.
Yeah, it is very disturbing. Of course, we lament the loss of any life, and certainly those in combat and those who sign up to go fight our nation's battles overseas. But it is unacceptable that we lose service members not in combat, either due to faulty material or training. And I'm not sure if it's one or the other or a combination of the two, but I am sure of this. We are losing an unacceptably large number of American service members connected to operations with the V-22 Osprey, which is, if you ever saw the thing flying, you'll probably be stopped in your tracks. It's a combination of a helicopter and an airplane, so it gives it the capability to land and take off vertically, but the speed of an airplane. And so those are very desirable capabilities, but I would say this, as much as we desire those capabilities, they are not worth the loss of life of the American service members who are in many cases, you don't get to choose your duty assignment. So if they say, if you say you want to fly, an F-18 in the Navy, and they say, well, that's fine, but we don't have any more positions, so you're going to fly an Osprey. Well, then you're flying an Osprey. And if the training or the equipment itself is inadequate, you're taking your life in your hands, let alone the combat. And so my position is that while we do want the capability, the capability isn't at this point worth the lives lost when we have very similar capabilities in other branches of service. I'm talking about a replacement aircraft that exists in the Army, which is the CH-47 Chinook. It's not quite as fast as the Osprey, but it doesn't have the tragic loss record in human life as the Osprey. And if we can't, if we can't get it right in training or materiel, I think we really need to consider a different platform that is more safe and get back to the drawing board to get what we want. But sometimes I'm concerned that that these things they get a life of their own. We have so much invested in them, and we want the capabilities so badly that we're willing to sacrifice American service lives to have the capability or to have the piece of equipment politically. And to me, those are unacceptable reasons to keep on losing our best and our brightest in uniform.
Okay, so to repeat, Congressman Scott Perry has just been appointed to serve in the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, probably the most powerful and prestigious committee in the House, I would think, maybe short of comparable to appropriations, where all the money's decided upon. But will these be the kind of things? Will you be talking about anything beyond just intelligence, beyond intelligence issues? Will it also cover the military and their capabilities and all of that?
Well, I don't know that we would discuss the accident rate of the V-22 in the Intelligence Committee, but certainly we on the Intelligence Committee would likely discuss anything that has to do with national security and, of course, the loss of service members' lives in pursuit of protecting national security is going to be a concern of everybody, whether they're on the committee or not. So, you know, of course, we're bound by the requirements that we don't discuss things on the committee to protect the the various intelligence aspects that need to be protected so that our country can be protected. But you can rest assured that myself and Admiral Ronnie Jackson have spent a lot of time in the secure compartmental information facility known as the SCIF before serving on this committee, and having access to classified information over long careers are going to safeguard American secrets just like anyone would and just like we're supposed to. You can rest assured that that is the fact.
I'm confident of that. That's why I do trust you, Congressman Perry, and I want people to know this. One last question. You can make it quick. There are elections happening. Even as you and I are speaking, people won't hear it today, but Virginia's having elections, and that has a big impact on Freedom Caucus today with Bob Good being the chairman. But wherever the elections are, the Freedom Caucus in the 2024 election, do you expect to pick up seats? Are there places that people should know about good candidates? Maybe you're not prepared to answer that, but just in general.
Yeah, we always expect to and hope to pick up seats. We work hard at it, but I got to tell you, the establishment, the Uniparty, also works hard at it. They, you know, they're not necessarily interested in more Freedom Caucus members. They like more members that kind of do what they're told and you know, are more wed to the Washington establishment than they are to their own districts. And so it's a constant battle. But we go into the battle cheerfully. We know what our mission is. And, you know, most people that want to come to the Freedom Caucus don't go to Washington because they want plum committee assignments or because, you know, they're looking out for their next job in some lobbying firm. They're trying to save what we're concerned is a republic that is falling. And so we're always on the lookout for those individuals. And I would encourage you know, anybody that's listening to check in with your closest Freedom Caucus member if you have a question about a particular race. We're usually pretty well versed in who's running and what they stand for. You know, everybody doesn't get it right 100% of the time, but we have a pretty good track record based on what people say. And certainly if they already have a voting record, if they're already elected, we know that, as you know, Sandy, people will say one thing, unfortunately, and sometimes do another. We would like to avoid those folks. We want people that are true, whatever their positions are. But I think the American people deserve to know that. And so if you're wondering, please just get in contact with your local or closest Freedom Caucus member and ask the question. We'd be happy to help.
Okay. That sounds good. Congressman Scott Perry, always a pleasure. And I just want to admonish everyone listening, most of the Freedom Caucus members, most, not all, I don't know all of them, at least I know several of them, and they are serious Christians, as is Congressman Perry. They pray, and they need your intercession, because this is a lonely post right now, and that serving in that Congress is not easy right now. So I always say, I cannot leave the field of battle while you guys are there. I can't, because you're doing such really hard work and great work, very effective considering the obstacles, and so we have to pray for you, and I pledge to do that. I'm asking my listeners to do the same. So, Congressman Scott Perry, thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Well, thank you very much, and we sure do appreciate and feel your prayers. So thank you very much for that. We need God's wisdom and courage. And God bless you, Sandy, and your audience.
Thank you. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
You know, there's so much talk about racism in our country. You know, everything is racist, and all white people are racist, and all black people are not racist. The truth of it is, the establishment powers, and certainly the ones that are affiliated with abortion, are all about color. And they don't prefer black people, by the way. I'll tell you why. Abortion disproportionately affects people of color. 7 in 10 abortions are women of color. Black women comprised 42% of abortion recipients, white women 30%. Hispanic women 22% and 7% of other races. Do you get the picture? Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider, you know, their founder was Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist, meaning she felt some races were superior to other races. Thus, the map and the method of Planned Parenthood. And yet, they're not racist. So just remember that. And while you're remembering that, remember that preborn is in almost every major metropolitan city. Providing pictures to women who are pregnant in utero, these live, these ultrasound photos of their babies to help them make a good decision for the baby, of course, but a good decision for them too. And so if you would like to help them do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Scott Perry has come out and took aim at you, as you know, because he said, if he gets on this committee, he'll conduct actual oversight, not blind obedience to some facets of our intelligence community. And he claimed they're spying on the American people. How do you respond to that?
He has apologized. And certainly those are the types of words that you would not want from somebody who's joining a committee that is obviously very dedicated to national security and very dedicated to working on a bipartisan way. I think that upon him joining the committee, and looking at the work that both he gets to do and the work that we're doing, that he'll be absolutely satisfied that he can play a role in the work that we're doing for national security.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. I just want to say a few other things. Now, this is me talking, not Congressman Perry. So I'll tell you what I think for what it's worth, and I think a lot more bad things than I said with him. You know, I read, there's a pundit who writes I'm not sure what to call it, what format, but it's called the Conservative Treehouse. And I follow him. I agree with most everything he says, and certainly I hear this from other national intelligence experts, but I'll read you what he says. He says, Representative Mike Turner really is one of the worst members of Congress. I would rank Turner's corrupt and Machiavellian status right now next to SS, that's the Senate counterpart, Chairman Mark Warner. Turner will defend the corrupt intelligence community deep state even more than Marco Rubio. Remember, it was Turner who manufactured the letter of support for his FISA renewal strategy, falsely attributing supportive signatures of Devin Nunes and John Ratcliffe. Do you remember that? That's when they were trying to, Congressman Perry mentioned this on the air, they were trying to renew FISA, and people like Congressman Perry wanted them to make the FISA court have a warrant before they could invade people's privacy on their social media, their phones, everything. And Mike Turner was against it and manufactured this signatures of Devin Nunes and John Ratcliffe to get it signed, to get it passed. It did pass, by the way. That's just one thing about Mike Rogers. So I've already told you about Congressman Perry's background, that he's a combat veteran. He was with the military for 40 years. Retired as a brigadier general, and he has his master's in strategic studies from the U.S. Army War College. And they're worried about him being on the Intelligence Committee. So I thought, well, you know, I would look at Mike Turner's background a little bit so I could kind of compare, because I really didn't know. I you know, it's kind of like you hear, have a bad impression, but you don't really know the details of why. So I thought I would look this up and give you a little more information about Mike Rogers, because, you know, he's just not so sure about Scott Perry and Admiral Ronnie Jackson. I'll get to him in just a second. So he was very, you know, like polite and guarded with Margaret Brennan, but I can tell you that he exploded when he found out about these two nominations. So this is what we know about Turner. He's an attorney. He's got a great education. He's the former mayor of Dayton, Ohio. And as I look at this, on guns, he used to have an A rating from the National Rifle Association or the NRA Political Victory Fund. But then he sort of started changing his mind about whether guns should be restricted. And so in 2020, the NRA gave him a D rating because he was, changing his mind a little bit. As a member of the Ohio delegation, he was sure to establish a National Advanced Air Mobility Center for Excellence in Ohio. So that happened. He also made sure that Ohio had the F-35 program at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Well, now that's what congressmen do, but I'm just telling you, he gets things done. He brings money to his state related to military. And that is the accusation against him, is that he has done well working with the intelligence community and the whole military establishment, personally done well. But I'll tell you about his position on other issues. He voted to double the availability of H-2B visas. That's bringing in foreigners to take American jobs. So he was all about that. He voted to prohibit ICE from cooperating with Health and Human Services to detain or remove illegal alien sponsors. He also was one of those people in the 2020 election who did not join the majority of Republican members of Congress to sign an amicus brief to support the law case, Texas versus Pennsylvania, which was the strongest case that was going to be brought before the Supreme Court on election malfeasance. He refused to sign that. He also voted to certify the votes for Arizona and Pennsylvania's results, in spite of all the objections. On DEI, and that's a big issue right now, diversity, equity, and inclusion, he was one of five Republicans who voted against an amendment to eliminate the offices of diversity, equity, and inclusion within the Armed Forces and Department of Defense. He voted with 46 other Republicans for the Respect for Marriage Act, which codified gay marriage in law. Okay, is that enough? I'm just telling you that's who he is. He's not happy that Congressman Scott Perry, Brigadier General Scott Perry, is on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence because he might not be able to be trusted, you see. But then that brings me to the other person appointed. That's Admiral Ronnie Jackson. Let's listen to this clip and you'll get an idea of the objections to Ronnie Jackson, clip four.
So I understand you said you received assurances about their ability to handle classified information that they'll have access to. But as you know, Dr. Ronnie Jackson was demoted by the Navy because a Pentagon Inspector General report found that he had been taking sedatives while providing medical care to two U.S. presidents. That kind of compromising behavior would be disqualifying for most people when it comes to receiving a security clearance or having any access to the nation's secrets.
I'm aware of those reports. As you just indicated, though, they are unrelated to the handling of classified information. And certainly the individuals in his district believe that those issues are resolved. He presents himself to Congress with his military background, and we're going to be certainly working with the Speaker and with Mr. Jackson so that, again, that he is a very productive member of our committee. And if there are any incidences, the Speaker has indicated that, as with Mr. Perry, that he will enforce our rules.
Yes, you know, because very suspicious. Now, let's talk about Dr. Ronnie Jackson, a medical doctor, now a congressman, and a former admiral. Remember, he was the doctor to President Trump. He's the one that announced that President Trump was in such good health when everyone was hoping he wouldn't be in good health. Ronnie Jackson gave him a clean bill, and that put him in the crosshairs, and the attacks began. And so you just heard Margaret saying that he was demoted by the Navy because of some substance that he was taking while he was treating two different presidents. How dare he do that? You know what this substance was? Well, I looked into it. Guess what the substance was? It was something to help him sleep at night. You know, this is the first time that I have seen in real time an issue. You know how we have to tell everybody what we're on? You know, our medical records are no longer private. Oh, you think they are? That they're not. This is a case of them looking at his medical records and finding something. Oh, maybe, I don't know, could have been, I don't know, you fill in the substance. A lot of people take things to help them sleep. I do. So, you know, put me on the list. That's the accusation. And for that, he got demoted by the Navy, and now it's suspicious that he should, you know, be on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. This is how perverted it is. These men will do a really good job. In fact, I should read in closing one last thing. So I'll give you someone else's opinion on this. Congressman Matt Gaetz wrote, "Congrats to Representative Ronnie Jackson and Representative Scott Perry on these very significant appointments. President Trump now has major reinforcements for his plan to obliterate the deep state. This is now the most pro-Trump intel committee we have ever had, by far." Okay, well, I'll just end with that. That'll give you an idea and a picture of why these two men are so objectionable to men like Mike Rogers and others on the committee. Well, I hope you've learned a lot of things today. I've learned it, too. As I study, I learn also. And I hope you've benefited from this edition. By the way, I want to thank our sponsors. You know, Timothy Plan is our new sponsor. And what happens is, with Timothy Plan, you can put your money where your values are and discover how to be biblically responsible as an investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.